exactly know what that means, but the social media.
Lit up on the dash? For those vehicles out there that have a full-size spare tire, it's most likely that the pressure is low, causing that caution to light up that dash. Use the manufacturer-required pressure for the spare. You can find this information located on the tire requirement tag on the inside of the driver's door jamb. Lesson learned. Want to learn more about your vehicle? Visit me at CarCareForTheClueless.com, making you a savvy car consumer.
World-famous Jiggy Jaguar radio program.
Raw and uncut, Jiggy Jag, you know how you do it. You know what I'm saying? Keeping it all the way live.
Broadcasting live from Hutchinson, Kansas.
Well, I'm sitting here with a linguist. I had no idea. I didn't know that you were a wordsmith.
Call Jiggy right now. 267-22-JIGGY.
Hey, Jiggy, what's happening, man? You must be that David Bowie song. Jiggy play guitar. Jeff, it's a great name, man. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Presenting...
I'm Mike Massey, and, you know, you can catch me on Jiggy Jag TV and see a few of my trick shots there. Thank you very much.
Jiggy Jaguar.
I never knew what freedom was until I saw you lose yours.
Welcome to our world-famous Jiggy Jaguar radio program today. We are going to have a blockbuster of a radio program today. We've got IQ Alrazoli with us today, joining us on the telephone. We'll get to IQ here in just a few moments. Here in about 10 minutes or so, we are going to be hearing from a guest on Skype. And he's a very interesting individual. He was born in Egypt. His name is Zacharias Boutros, I believe is his name. He's experienced the terror of losing his brother, a martyr for the Christian faith, at a young age. He inherited his brother's Bible and notes his brother has written a powerful, powerful effect upon him. And we'll be talking to him as well. He is the founder of Al Fadi TV channel that broadcasts daily to Muslim nations and many other countries concerning the truth of Islam as found in the Muslim scripture. His preaching of Christianity has become so effective he's been termed Islam's public enemy number one by the Arabic newspaper Al Islan Al Jayid, and Al Qaeda has offered $60 million for the death of Mr. Boutros. And we've got IQ Alrazoli with us today. And before we're joined by Mr. Boutros, it seems like IQ. Well, there he is. Hold on. We were just talking about you, Mr. Boutros. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Well, let's do this. We've got IQ Alrazoli with us today. It's a special Wednesday edition. We also have with us today Zacharias Boutros. I hope I'm getting that correct. If I am butchering your name, I apologize, my friend.
No, that's right.
Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit about this gentleman, if he just joined us. He experienced the terror of losing his brother, a martyr for the Christian faith, at a young age. He inherited his brother's Bible, and the notes his brother had written were powerful, and they had a great effect upon him. Not long after, he became a priest and published pamphlets about Christianity and Islam. He became effective at converting Muslims to Christianity, and he came to baptize 500 of them. Also today with us, IQ Alrazoli, who joins us each and every Wednesday on our broadcast. And IQ has been with us for around the last 2 years, warning of the problems with Islam and how it is a huge, huge problem in the world. I want to start with IQ. First of all, what do you think of Mr. Boutros' story here?
I know more about Father Boutros than you can possibly imagine. He is one of the foremost authorities on Islam.
You're welcome.
No, it's true. I'm not saying it because, I mean, we have never met. But I watched many of his programs. I mean, compared to him, he's my teacher.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've been talking to the pupil all these years, and now we've got the teacher in the mix. That's
absolutely
awesome.
Absolutely. I have no humility in this case. Against any Muslim, I'm not humble. Against Father Putros, I'm very humble.
Thank you so much. It is the grace of God.
Now, Father Boutros, you were born in Egypt into a Coptic Christian family. You experienced the terror of losing your brother, a martyr for the Christian faith at a young age. Please tell us a little bit about this, and then I'm going to let IQ jump in and ask you a few questions about this topic as well.
Okay. I was raised in a typical Orthodox Christian home. We loved our church. And my father had a great heart for the Muslims, to show them the love of Jesus, as did my brother. When he was still at 20s, my brother, who shared Christ fearlessly with the Muslims, was accosted by members of the Muslim Brotherhood. They cut his tongue out and murdered him. It was very devastating for our family, but instead of bitterness, I developed a love for the Muslims. They are victims of Islam, which teaches them to do these things. Eventually, in 1964, I had a critical change in my life as I entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I have been writing books, preaching sermons, and doing television programs for many years to teach Muslims the truth about what their religion says. Muslims do not read their own books, so I read these books for them and tell them what their books say. This has led to a revolution that has shaken the Muslim world by God's grace. Millions of Muslims are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ every year all over the world as they discover the truth about their prophet and their books say.
Now IQ, you have converted from Islam to Christianity, much as Father Boutros has mentioned here. Give us some of your experiences on this, and then I'll let you ask Father Boutros a few questions here.
I had been arrested in Egypt and spent time in prison for my ministry. Eventually, I had to leave my country. Fortunately, with the new technology, I have been able to continue my ministry to the Muslims as well as to educate Christians on how to minister to Muslims. I started out on Pal Talk on the internet in 2001. When I discussed Islam with Muslims and showed them what their prophet said and did, I showed them from their own books things like the marriage of Muhammad to a 6-year-old Aisha, the marriage of Muhammad to his daughter-in-law, Zainab, Muhammad's murders and terrorism, as well as his encounters with devils. These things are all very, very clearly described in their most respected books. These things had been hidden for centuries because Islam does not allow people to criticize the Quran or their prophet.
Now,
when I opened these subjects, it was as if the earth shook up. And the reaction was fast and extremely furious. As the ministry grew, I eventually started a small half-hour television program weekly called Questions About the Faith in 2003. It literally caused an earthquake in the Muslim world as the Lord allowed me to expose the foundations of their faith, their prophet, and their books.
Now, Father Boutros, IQ has some questions for you. IQ, jump in there.
Are you living in America at the moment or somewhere else?
in a place all over the globe. Any place in the globe.
I'm not trying to find out where you are. General directions. Because I also try not to give any information to the Muslims.
That's right.
He said that I converted to Christianity. He's wrong. I never said I
converted
to anything.
God bless you.
No. I'm telling him I never converted to anything because I don't want the Muslims to say, he is a fundamentalist Christian, or he is a Zionist, or he is a Hindu.
Yes.
The less they know, the more they are worried. The less they know, the more they are scared.
Yeah.
I have watched your programs. I have listened to your programs.
Good.
Your mastery of the subject is second to none. There's absolutely no doubt about this. You know more about Islam. You know more about Muhammad than the combined knowledge of all the Muslims put together.
I'm not trying to
humor you. It's a fact.
Yeah.
You know it's a fact, and I know it's a fact. Back to you.
Good.
Now, Father Boutros, you eventually escaped to the West. You began to broadcast the Mideast. You've reached as many as 60 million in one day. And you were telling us a little bit about that there. What's been some of the feedback you've gotten on your broadcasts and some of the different things?
Okay. Eventually, the Lord opened the door for me to open our own television station, which broadcasts on satellites around the globe, as well as on the internet. It is a 24-hour station funded by viewers, and we started it in 2011. I do 3 live programs each week, and we have other Arabic language, Kurdish language, and English language live programs as well. We are very excited at the reaction and the calls we receive. I have been teaching these things for over 14 years, and I have met with great resistance and anger from the Muslim world. But strangely, these are now many Muslims, even Imams, who are now asking the same questions about Islam and the Quran that I started asking 14 years ago. Muslims are beginning to think and beginning to ask. This is a great step, because if they start thinking about their religion, they will see the fallacy of this. One of the issues I raised in the beginning was the issue of abrogation. It is a unique Islamic teaching that God sends down a verse of the Quran and later sends another verse that contradicts it. In the Quran, Muslims are taught that the verse that comes last is the one that is most valid. How could this be? As Muslims see these contradictions in their book, the eyes of many are being opened to the truth of Jesus Christ and the Bible. Yes, and as for your question,
yes,
yeah, Islam prospers in darkness as long as people don't know and don't ask. They remain in darkness for 14 centuries since the foundation of Islam. There has been a strict code of silence. The Quran commands you not to ask questions which could lead to doubt. If you ask, you can be killed as an apostate, and many were killed. This darkness reigned over the Middle East when I started asking questions and showing people the things in their books. People were stunned, literally. They were shocked. Many could not believe that their books encourage a man to beat his wife or to have sex with young girls. They didn't know that Muhammad took an old woman over 100 years old and tied her between two camels and made the camels walk in opposite directions to tear her in two. they didn't know that Muhammad attempted suicide 3 times, or that he thought that a devil, not an angel, came to him. They didn't know Muhammad bowed and worshipped idols of Mecca, and later blamed Satan for putting words in his mouth. When I showed them in their books these things, they were shocked and turned their fury against me. This led to many threats, including the price on my head by Al-Qaeda itself.
Now, Father, we've got Father Zachariah Boutros with us today. We also have our regular IQ Al Rizzoli, and you two have something in common. The Muslims and ISIS and Al Qaeda hate you guys like poison.
That's right.
Now, IQ, do you have any questions for Father Boutros before I move on to my next question here with him?
No. Go ahead with the questions. I would love to listen to him.
Okay. Now, Father Zacharias, you describe President Obama's relationship to the Christians of the Middle East. Kind of tell us a little bit about this and all this, and then we'll let IQ. I'm sure he has some questions about this topic as well. So describe President Obama's relationship to the Christians of the Middle East.
Yeah. You know that Islam hates anybody who is not Muslim.
Yes.
And there are many verses to kill other people who the infidels and also the Christians and Jews.
Yes.
These are clear verses in the Quran and also in the Hadith of Muhammad. So they want to kill everybody who is not Muslim. So they persecute us in the Middle East, especially in Egypt, Iraq, Syria, everywhere. There are Christians, they are persecuted, put in jails, burned, their houses are destroyed, their churches are burned, and so on. This is Islam in the relationship with other people in the Middle East. And also, you can see it in the Western countries. Twins, accident, they destroyed. Also in California, in Maryland, sorry, in Florida, in Paris,
yes.
Everywhere you find Islam, you can find persecution and murders.
We've got Father Zachariah Boutros with us today. We also have IQ Al Rizzoli. He joins us live here on our broadcast as well. Now, IQ, I know that you talk on this program about President Obama a lot. Do you have any questions for the father, but based upon his last mentions there?
Well, the beauty of what this phone call is that he and I know about Islam.
Yeah.
More than any Muslim on the planet.
Yes.
That's a fact. There's no question about it. Because as he said, Muslims have been for 1400 years and continue to be forbidden from ever asking questions. This is why 1,500 million Muslims,
yeah,
57 Muslim majority states, are the least productive, least inventive, least creative in human history.
Yeah.
They can't progress. It is impossible.
Yes.
Back to you, sir.
Now, Father.
Yes.
You have this Al-Fadi TV channel. You broadcast daily to Muslim nations. You also cover many other countries concerning the truth of Islam as found in Muslim scripture. IQ has written several books and continues to do a lot of writing, and he does radio appearances much like you do. Kind of explain your outreach that you do with the Al-Fadi TV channel.
Study, what is the question?
Explain to us what you do when you broadcast daily to these nations, these Muslim nations.
Oh yeah. Look, it is a plan how to approach Muslims, because we don't only want to, we don't criticize Islam only, but we preach the gospel to Muslims. This is our aim, to win people for Christ and be saved and have everlasting life. That's why I have a plan. The first step of my plan is to reveal the problems in front of Muslims about Christianity. The Trinity, the incarnation of God and man, the crucifixion, the validity of our Bible. So I reveal all these problems. Second step is to expose Islam for Muslims. The fact or reality of the Quran, of Muhammad, of al-Hadith, of Jibreel, of the God of Muhammad, Allah of Muhammad, who is the Satan. So I bring from their books all these things to expose what Islam is. So the third step is the most important step. How to preach the gospel to Muslims. Speaking about the creation, and then sin, and then the penalty of sin, and the salvation of Christ, and Jesus knocking at the door of everybody in order to give him life and salvation, to change his life in order to be a son of God or daughter of God and have everlasting life. This is my plan for preaching the gospel to Muslims. And I pray that God may touch their hearts, open their eyes, and change their life. Amen.
Now,
thank you so much, dear, for this opportunity, and God bless you and bless all. Thanks a lot.
Yes, I have one final question for you, my friend, before we let you go.
Okay. One question,
huh? Well, I have many, but...
I know.
But...
That's why I ask you.
Now, we were... One of the things that I mentioned earlier that you have in common with our guest today, IQ Al Razzoli, is that IQ is hunted and persecuted by the Muslims. They don't like anything he's saying when he goes on radio and TV. And you have a broadcast channel on
yes.
on YouTube that you broadcast to millions of people. Now, Al-Qaeda...
And satellites, and on the satellites.
Yes, and Al-Qaeda has put a $60 million price on your head.
That's right.
Explain that to us and talk to us a little bit about that.
What's the question?
Why has Al-Qaeda put a $60 million price on your head?
Yeah, because I exposed Islam and showed them that Islam is a false religion, and Muhammad is a false prophet, and Allah of Islam is the Satan himself. That's why they want to kill me. You know? That's all.
You're exposing them. That's basically... They don't like that because you basically
yes.
have told them the jig is up, essentially.
That's right.
Now,
they will know the truth and they will leave Islam.
Yep. Now, IQ, with all this in mind, Al Razzoli, do you have any questions here for the father?
Not really, because he has all the answers. But I wish him a long life and a very successful life.
Thank you so much. You too.
Now, Father, you've baptized over 500 Muslims at one time into the
yes.
Christian faith. Tell us about that.
Yes, there are many, many Muslims coming to Christ and believing in his salvation and accepting Jesus Christ as a personal savior for themselves. And they come to be baptized. And there are many, many, millions all over the world, especially in the Arab world and Islamic world, coming to Christ and are baptized. That is the work of God. Glory to the God. Amen.
Now God has blessed these folks that you've helped to convert. When you have people reach out to you, how do they reach out to you about wanting to convert?
They come to on air, you know, because we have live programs. They come on earth and they ask me what will they do, and I ask them to telephone me after the air. So I speak to them through the telephone and to help them and send them to some priests in the Middle East to baptize them and to follow up them.
We've got Father Zachariah Boutros with us today. He joins us live here on our program. And Al-Qaeda has put a $60 million price on this man's head. And he joins us today to discuss why. And Father Boutros joins us on Skype today. He broadcasts to the Middle East. He's reached as many as 60 million people in a day. He's on the Internet. He's on satellite. He's on radio. He's all over the place. And World Magazine awarded you the Daniel of the Year Award in 2008. Tell us about that award.
Are you asking me?
Tell us about winning that award in 2008.
Are you asking me now a question?
Yes, I'm asking you that question, Father Richard.
You said before that was the last question. Why do I have many questions again?
You're a fascinating individual, my friend. Me and IQ feel like we are studying at the master's throne today because you've inspired so many.
In one session. What's that?
you've inspired so many, Father Boutros.
So yes, it was in 2008 that magazine chose me to be Daniel of the Year. And it was a privilege for me. Actually, it's God in me.
Yes.
It's not me. It's the work of God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in me. Amen.
You are amazing. But before
I would like to ask you a question.
Yes, IQ, go.
That again, questions, dear? Okay.
Why do you think the Western, the Western clergy, whether they're Catholic or not Catholic, have not supported the Christians of the Middle East? I come from Iraq.
I think because they do not know Islam clearly. They don't know it well. So they think that Islam is a religion like Christianity, like Jews. So it is a religion from God. They don't know the fact of Islam. It is a satanic religion. It's not a religion from God.
Correct. But Father Boutros, they know who you are. They know who I am. They can listen to you, they can listen to me, but they're not willing to do that. They speak about Chris Islam. It is impossible to combine Christianity with Islam. Impossible.
That's right. You are right. Yes. This is the problem. Yes. I pray for the West people at clergy that God open their eyes and minds to know the fact of Islam. Amen.
Well, Father Boutros, thank you for coming on today and chatting with myself and IQ Al-Razzouli. This has definitely been an honor for both of us. If somebody wants to listen to you or watch your programs, how do they do that, Father Boutros? How do we get in touch with you and watch work?
Through the internet and our site is www.alfadi.tv. Al-Fadi means the Redeemer. A-L-F-A-D-Y-TV www.ifb.tv.
Well, so thank you, Father Boutros. It's been an honor. IQ, do you have any last words for the Father?
It's my honor. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, and I'll let you go, my friend. Appreciate it, Father Boutros.
Thank you so much. I thank you and your friend and your audience.
Yes. Well, thank you, Father Boutros. That was Father Boutros with us today. We're going to take a brief time out. And when we come back here on our program, we are going to chat with IQ about that and everything else. It is a special edition of our program. We've got more coming up.
This is Attorney Advertising. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision. Should not be based solely upon advertising. Kurt Goza and Brad Honnold are responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Attention women. If you had a transvaginal mesh, bladder mesh, pelvic sling, or bladder sling implanted for pelvic organ prolapse or stress urinary incontinence and suffered serious injuries or complications, please call 800-625-0379 now, as you may be entitled to a cash award. If you've had a mesh or sling device implanted and suffered serious injuries or complications such as device removal or replacement surgery, call 800-625-0379 now for a free consultation. One manufacturer has offered to pay $830 million to women harmed by these products. If you had a transvaginal mesh, bladder mesh, pelvic sling, or bladder sling implant and suffered serious injuries or complications, please call 800-625-0379 now. Cases are being settled right now. So call 800-625-0379. That's 800-625-0379.
This is Attorney Advertising. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision. Should not be based solely upon advertising. Kurt Goza and Brad Honnold are responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Attention. Call now if you've had an IVC filter placed in your body to prevent blood clots, as you may be at serious risk. The FDA warns that these filters may move or break, which may lead to heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, or even death. Call now for a free consultation. Since 2005, there have been over 1,000 problems reported to the FDA by consumers regarding IVC filters, such as fractures, tearing, device movement, blockage, and breaking of the device. If you or a loved one suffered serious health complications from an IVC filter which moved or broke, call us right now, as you may be entitled to compensation. Call 800-618-4110. That's 800-618-4110. Call now, 800-618-4110.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-809-5785.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care, as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-809-5785. That's 1-800-809-5785.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
For a free Life Alert brochure, call 800-635-4993. That's 800-635-4993. Call now at 800-635-4993 to get a free brochure. 800-635-4993.
This is ASE Automotive Professional Pam Oakes, and it's time to take a 60-second break and make you a savvy car consumer. It's time to learn a little bit about your auto. All the tires on your vehicle have the proper pressure, But that TPMS warning is lit up on the dash. For those vehicles out there that have a full-size spare tire, it's most likely that the pressure is low, causing that caution to light up that dash. Use the manufacturer-required pressure for the spare. You can find this information located on the tire requirement tag on the inside of the driver's door jamb. Lesson learned. Want to learn more about your vehicle? Visit me at CarCareForTheClueless.com, making you a savvy car consumer.
Welcome back to our world famous Chicken Check Wire radio program, coast to coast and border to border on TuneIn, iTunes, Radio Loyalty, Stitcher, and of course, the brand new Jiggy Jaguar app available in the App Store, JiggyJaguar.us, and we've got IQ Al Rizzoli back with us. IQ, what did you think of of that little surprise that I got for you?
I tell you, it was the shock of my life. This is amazing because he really is literally one of the foremost authorities in the world.
Yes.
On the subject of Islam. Because not only does he speak Arabic, I speak Arabic too. He speaks Arabic. He's from Egypt and from Iraq. But his mastery of the Hadith, which is the traditions of Islam, is
yes.
immense. It is absolutely immense. And if you listen to him when he talks to Muslims, there is no way on earth any Muslim can go against him and win. It is impossible. Like, same with me. I have $1.5 million worth. He has got $60 million to kill him.
Yes.
I have $1.5 million to challenge every Muslim on the planet to prove me wrong. Cannot be done. That's why they hate us. They hate us because we tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about Islam. But when we come now to Orlando, do you mind if I want to address our...
Yes, yes, go. That's why we've got you on today.
I want Americans to understand this. It's about time that Americans, that your criminally negligent leaders, starting with the Muslim traitor-in-chief in the White House, Barack Hussein Obama, you've got to hold them responsible, especially Obama. He is responsible for the heinous Orlando crime because he and his supporters have been deliberately deceiving and undermining the resolve of the American people with their demented and deadly political correctness and their groveling to Muslim leaders. I listened to Obama, as usual, nauseating, spineless speech, which not even once mentioned or associated terror in Islam. I'm talking about the Orlando one. The very FBI he had allegedly talked to had already asserted that the terrorist was a Muslim, a son of Afghanis, and a self-declared supporter of ISIS, and yet his administration says they don't know why he did it. How is it possible they don't know why he did it? Not only did Obama not call a spade, but adding insult to injury, he accused gun ownership for the mass slaughter. Barack Obama should have been impeached at least 5 different times in the last 7 years. In the present case of Orlando, he should be tried for criminal and gross dereliction of duties. Why? Because he's a failed president who has for almost 8 years willfully and knowingly ignored the existential threat posed by Islam and Muslims to the security and well-being of the American people. Why? By never associating Islam with terror. And even worse, by forbidding all security services of the United States and the armed forces to do so. Dear Americans, nothing committed by Muslims should ever shock you. Nothing. Why? Because each horrible and barbaric act of theirs is literally mandated, sanctioned, and or emulated from their mentor Muhammad in his Quran and fully sanctified by his fourth God called Allah. No one should call these attacks lone wolf or conducted by radical extremists or militant Muslims.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no shades in fundamentalist Islam. Just as there were no shades among Nazis or communists. Nazis, communists, and Muslims are exactly who and what they are. Organized crime syndicates, criminals. Neither should this slaughter be called a hate crime, as if conducted by a single depraved individual. This is not an act by a so-called radicalized Muslim, as if he had been brainwashed into slaughtering gays. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter how difficult it is to accept as fact, every single Muslim is a potential mass murderer. Every single Muslim is capable of these acts the instant he convinces himself that he must become a war jihadi, a martyr, willing to die for the sake of his God called Allah, qital fi sabilillah, and then gain the 72 virgins in Muhammad's whorehouse version of Islamic paradise. You can laugh at what I'm telling you, but what I'm telling you is the fact, and it's not a laughing matter. Donald Trump was absolutely correct when he said no more Muslims should be allowed without prior vetting. I fully supported this statement. I supported this statement in my talk shows with America against all those who were insulting him. Trump was pilloried by the same brain-dead liberal leftists who never bothered to read Muhammad's Quran and who are allowing more unvetted Muslims to invade America. Ladies and gentlemen, their hands, the hands of this administration and the hands of the president are dripping with the blood of the innocents of Fort Hood, of Benghazi, San Bernardino, Orlando, and many others before, as well as those who will be dying soon and in the near future. Ladies and gentlemen, based entirely upon my knowledge of Islam and Muslims, theological, cultural, historical, political, military, I would not allow a single further Muslim to enter the USA and become a US citizen. These despicable and heinous crimes committed by Muslims are neither accidents nor tragedies. These acts of mass murder are part and parcel of the jihad strategy to terrorize and weaken the resolve of unbelievers, infidels, kuffar, all over the globe, so that they submit to Sharia, just as Muhammad succeeded in doing to the pagan Arab tribes, his own kith and kin, 1400 years ago. Dear Americans, these individual or collective acts of terror are the signature tune of total war jihad against not only the American people, but also against all of non-Muslim humanity of 6 billion men, women, and children. We must therefore not ever again allow any of our leaders to whitewash Islam or Muslims. They must from now on call these acts for what they are: Islamic terror perpetrated by Muslims, aided and abetted by the so-called moderate Muslims, who are in reality the stealth jihad Muslims, because they are the ones who finance, shelter, arm, provide intelligence and propaganda in support of the jihadi ones, such as CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations,
yes,
or ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America. Jihad is exactly like a spear whose deadly tip is the war jihadis, the mass murderers, and the shaft is the stealth jihadis, the so-called moderate Muslims or silent majority. Back to you, sir.
We've got IQ Al Razzoli with us today. He joins us live And 44 minutes after the hour, we had Father Zacharias Boutros on earlier, and IQ has been talking about that appearance in this segment. He's also been talking about some of the other things going on, Orlando, some of the other things that have happened. Why is it that over the last, and I already know the answer to this, but I want you to give your your description on this whole thing. Why do you think that the president continues to not call these terrorism? He referred to the San Diego incident as workplace violence. He's referred to the Orlando shooting as a hate crime. Why won't he call this terrorism?
Because he's a Muslim and he is using taqiyya. Why is it difficult to understand that? Taqiyya, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is Islamic religiously sanctioned subterfuge. The Quran allows a Muslim to deceive and lie to Christians, Jews, Buddhists, and Hindus, anybody who's not a Muslim, by pretending that they are part and parcel of the community, when in fact all they are trying to do is undermine the community until such time that Islam takes over. Obama never let me down. I said he was a Muslim before he was elected. And those who don't believe me, go to 2008 and listen to my radio talk shows. They're there. I said he was a Muslim after he was elected. I proved he was a Muslim before and after he was elected. And after that, I didn't have to prove anything. Why? He instructed all the intelligence services and the military never to associate Islam with terror. That's an act of treason. Why? Because if you cannot identify your enemy, you will never be able to destroy it. And look what's happening now. He cannot identify ISIS. So what's happening? ISIS is all over Africa now. Not only North Africa. They are in Central Africa. And they're going to South Africa. ISIS is all over Iraq and Jordan and Syria and moving into Europe and America, by the way. The Orlando guy is an ISIS. What does that mean, ISIS? Every Muslim is ISIS. Why? Because ISIS and every Muslim are reading exactly the same book. Which book is that? Quran. What do they believe? Sharia. So they have exactly the same idea. All a Muslim has to do is make a phone call or Skype ISIS headquarters, wherever it may be, and tell them, I am your supporter. And they will tell him exactly what to do. They are not being brainwashed. They are not being radicalized. There are no shades in Islam. These shades in Islam of moderate Muslim, radical Muslim, extremist Muslim, and so on, exist only in the stupid minds of the Western leaders and the Western news media. No Muslim imam will ever tell you there are shades of Islam. Erdogan of Turkey, the president, prime minister of Turkey, he said to European Union, his colleagues, he said, what are you talking about? About this shade of Islam, this type of Islam. Islam is Islam. Same thing, the Nazis were Nazis. Nobody ever said they were moderate Nazis, radical
yes.
Nazis.
Yes, yeah, they were all Nazis, IQ.
Or militant Nazis. A Nazi is a Nazi, a communist is a communist. Why all of a sudden when it comes to Islam, we have shades. There are no shades. I would like our audience also to digest, before we close,
yes,
the following facts that have been available to Americans and their administrations for at least 15 years, since 9/11. But these things have been willfully ignored to appease the insatiable predators called Muslims. For example, Islam does not mean peace. Islam means submission. Muslims submit to the will of a God called Allah. Since Muhammad, his Quran and Sharia are hate-mongering, war-mongering, misogynist, disloyal, racist, hypocritical, intolerant, duplicitous, vile, then they are the enemies of every human being who is not a Muslim. Currently 80% of humanity. Then Allah cannot possibly be God. Ladies and gentlemen, jihad is the most important pillar of Islamic belief. Because it is through jihad, warfare,
that Muslims intend to make Sharia the ruler of every human being on the planet. Allah is most assuredly not, I repeat, not the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham. Mosques and Islamic schools called madrasas are the incubators that teach and indoctrinate the followers of Muhammad to follow all the above mentioned dogmas of Sharia and become jihadis. It is imperative that Americans are made aware that it is impossible for any Muslim to accept or submit to the American Constitution because it is not from Allah Sharia. Nor can any Muslim in the USA be a loyal citizen to 97% of Americans who are not Muslims because Sharia considers them or calls them kuffar, infidels. Dear Americans, since Allah is not the same as the God of the Bible, then no God called Allah and no angel called Gabriel ever revealed anything to Muhammad. Why? Simple. Because every letter, word, verse, and chapter in the Quran are the sole product of Muhammad's imagination, the secretions of his warped mind, representing his alter ego, his autobiography, but very cleverly projected into the unsuspecting mouths of Allah and Gabriel to give them the aura of sanctity and divinity. Hence, Islam is not a religion. It's a cult belief system, the cult of Muhammad. Now, since Islam is a cult and not a religion, then Muslims are not entitled to any privileges given to religious denominations. That's for a fact. And I challenge any listener thinking that any revelations of mine cannot be true to disprove a single one of them based entirely on the Islamic scripture. I had a big talk now. Back to you, sir.
We've got IQ Al Razzoli with us today. He joins us live here on the telephone. We've got a little bit more time left with IQ. I want to go over some of the different stories that have happened fairly recently in the news. One of them being this situation. It's kind of a weird situation over there in Syria. This comes from Red Flag News. Actually, it comes from the Daily Mail. Syrian war has created a lesbian paradise over there in Syria. Since Cain killed Abel, war has been all about young men killing each other. A 32-year-old translator is telling these folks that they've been affected by the war. The absence of young men in Syria is glaring obvious to any visitor to its major cities. In the cafes and the markets and the streets, there are simply less of them around, and those that are wearing badly fitting khakis are on their way to the military battle. Ask the barbers. They'll tell you they've lost 3/4 of their business, but at the same time, the chaos of war has allowed some women the freedom to pursue lesbian relationships in a country that at least technically bans gay relationships. What do you think about all this, IQ?
It's not impossible. I mean, it's very... You've got to think about it logically. We don't have to think about it biblically, morally, and make decisions. These are imperatives. Millions of young men have either been murdered,
yep,
or in the armed forces, or run away. Millions. And what did they do? They left the women. The women have to fend for themselves. How do they fend for themselves? It's not easy. They turn to prostitution. By the way, one of the greatest number of prostitutes now coming in the Middle East, from the Middle East, are from Syria.
Yep.
Not because they want to. It's a matter of necessity for survival. And another thing happens when you have associations only of women or only of boys. You have sexual relationships.
Yes.
There's no question about this. This is a biological imperative. It's not a perversion. People put it as a perversion. It's biology. I'm not defending it. I'm not supporting it. I'm telling you what it is. Some people would disagree with me. That's their privilege. We're not killing each other over disagreement. But I have seen it. In the Middle East, you see young men walking hand in hand. That's Middle East. In Asia, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, Muslim countries, young men walk hand in hand. Why would they do that? Not because they are necessarily homosexual,
yes.
Although there are many of them are.
Yes.
Why are they homosexual? Because they don't have access to women. Why do Muslims have, they prey on animals, goats and sheep? They have sex on, with them. This is a fact, by the way. This is not propaganda. It is allowed, by the way, by the imams, tell you if there are no women, the man has the right to have sex with a goat or with a lamb, but then he doesn't become impure. The animal becomes impure, and you have to kill the animal. So the animal is raped to relieve the male Muslim, and for doing a good service, he's got to be killed.
That is just such a wacky
belief system the world has ever known.
It's a wacky religion, IQ. I noticed
wacky, it's perverted.
Yes, it's very perverted. Something I heard the other day on a radio program, there was a gentleman on there talking about the Quran, and he was talking also about the situation in Orlando, and he said that in the Quran they teach Muslim men that to have male bonding time and have male this and male that, and they teach homosexuality in the Quran, but they don't call it that. And then when they have when the Muslims come up against homosexuals, they're taught to kill them. So in a way, the Quran basically contradicts itself. Is that pretty much what's going on?
First of all, the Quran contradicts itself all the way, as Father Putras told you.
Yes.
But here there is a mistake. The Quran does not allow homosexuality, but the Quran allows pederasty. That means for men to have sex with young boys who haven't grown up into men. Are you with me so far?
Yes. I'm just blown away by all this.
No grown-ups, male or female, having sex with each other is called homosexuality, and it is a death penalty. But a man who has sex with a young boy is called pederasty, is allowed. And there are verses in the Quran. I'll tell you one of them. I'll give it to you. Chapter 52, verse 24. Listen to this. The Quran says that. And he is talking to the people who are going to die and who will end up in Muhammad's whorehouse version of paradise. And there will be going around them boy servants to serve them as if they were well-guarded, handsome pearls. Another one, 56.17. Around them, the martyrs will have perpetually young, immortal, handsome boys like pearls. Why would they have boys in serving them? You understand what I'm saying? The service is not just to feed them. The service is there to give them the pleasure of sex, just like the women. So, in Muhammad's whorehouse version of paradise, if you want the 72 virgins, you can have 72 virgins. If you want boys, you can have boys. But you can't have men. You can laugh, but the joke will be on us. 1.5 billion people believe this crap. Scary.
We've got IQ Al Rizzoli with us today. He joins us live. And as we wrap up here, my friend, next week we're going to be chatting with Dan Perkins from TheHill.com, our monthly conversation that we do with Dan on this program. As we go, what do you make of Father Boutros and his spreading of the message throughout the world with his television programs and all of his things? Because you guys do similar work. You're on radio. He's on TV. You guys do a great service for the world.
True, but he is now concentrating on converting Muslims. I am concentrating on educating Americans and Europeans.
Yes.
So both of us are serving something. And he is an authority. There is absolutely no doubt about the immensity of his knowledge. No human being on the planet can ever debate him and win. It is impossible.
Yes.
God bless you, and I'll talk to you next week.
Definitely. Have yourself a wonderful week, my friend. I appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
Thank you much. IQ, Al Rizzoli with us today here on our program. Coast to Coast and Border to Border on TuneIn, iTunes, our radio loyalty, and Stitcher. Yes, indeed, the great Stitcher app.